This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 27. Tom knelt in the dust, his right hand still clutching his precious stone, together with the left pressing his temples in an effort to stop his head exploding. Every factory member came with a tortuous sizzle and pop as though its courier had just been zapped by an insecticutor in his skull. Protecting his sanity, something inside the boy tried to shut the horrors out. Undeterred, the Tom struggling to know drifted upright and sleptwalked towards the pool. One after the other, his feet stepped over the lip, plunging ankle deep into the freezing water. His dream seemed to catch his actions then, merging with them to form a powerful mix of senses that placed him back in time as though he was there. And he was there. In the real world he sat in a green slimed and rotten seat, but behind closed eyes, that same object had the clean lines of an electric chair. He looked at the girl seated to his right, her grim face returning the look with a smile and a bite of her bottom lip. But in the present world, the real world, as Tom rested the back of his neck on the rusty cradle, he was alone. Tess, a memory as clear as any moment lived in the present. Feet sodden in the crystal Highland spring, the straps at the wrists, his waist and ankles seemed to fasten themselves. His head pushed back into its place of pain and he waited for the buzzing. He waited for the buzzing to grow and roil and swarm throughout his body. He looked for Silas then. Silas. 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 George Silas. The man. The tormentor. And there he was, sitting in front of them, Tom and Tess. And then he heard her. His mother.
Tom. Tess.
Silas smiled.
It's up to you, boy. Her pain is yours to take away.
Tom remembered the crackle of jagged light leap from the rod, the stench of burning flesh, his mother's limp body in Silas's arms. He was using her to get them to do what he wanted.
Look at your sister. Feel her strength. Use it.
But Tom could not block the screams from his head. Could not resist the urge to struggle against the straps binding him ever tighter to the seat of terror. And then the circle of hands, Tessie's love flowing from his right and the cold brutality of Silas crushing him from the left. Once more the buzzing nodes bombed him with sounds, pictures, facts. Again the bright ball of light streaked across the unknown sky, two naked and pink babies. A hideous creature, Silas, scooping the children in his arms and carrying them over hill and stream to a wild and beautiful place he recognises, Cregan. But in this Cregan, there was no cottage, no ruin. And suddenly it was there, built in the blink between two memories, a grim stone edifice that kept the weather out and the cold in. The babies turned to toddlers then, and the toddlers were Tom and Tess, and now there was a woman, their mother. Laughing and singing, the cottage grew warm. Home. This period, the children alone with their mother, seemed to stretch for years, and Tom caught a glimpse of a life without Silas. Happy, loving, carefree. And then he returned. The boat, the supplies, the pain. A billion facts nipped at his head and ripped through his body like a frenzied infestation. They buzzed through his fingers and he saw into Silas's thoughts mingling with his own and Tess's. He saw a huge castle, high on black rock, somber children praying, their dark faces a curious mix of contentment and dread. And then there were thousands of voices, millions of thoughts, billions of facts ravaging his mind. The cradle at his neck seemed to hiss with the searing heat on his flesh. Somewhere his mother cried out,
Tom! Tom!
Tessie's grip slackened on his, The equations, the obscure names, the references to strangers and places unknown slowed from a torrent to a trickle and then to a stop. Tom opened his eyes, knowing this time that what he experienced was not a present reality but a memory as vivid as the experience itself. But still he heard his name. It bounced on the walls, his mother crying out in fear and anguish. Now he knew where to look. Jumping from the seat, he splashed through the pool and ran into the main chamber, turning immediately to his left. Another arch led into a cave so small that he had to bend down to enter it. And there she was, his mother, looking at him, her rescuer, her son. She tried to smile through silent tears tumbling her cheeks. She opened her arms and Tom fell on her, his emotions treasured pain he wanted to suffer, a mixture of happiness that he was with her at last and fear and anger for how she'd been treated. He wrapped his arms around her and crumpled to a pile of misery when he felt nothing but empty, cold air, and the cruel realization that his mind was still determined to trick him whenever it could. Tom lay in abject isolation. The image had caught up with reason, and now all he saw was a chain fastened to a wall, a single empty manacle lying rusted on the floor. As he lay there, tears flowing freely, he heard his mother call again, but this time he did not move. It was another trick. She was not there. The dust had gathered undisturbed for years, the place no more than a mausoleum for his ghoulish memories. The most he could hope for was to use the cavern as a painful forum in which to rebuild his notion of self, who he was. But once more the light surrounding him changed. It dimmed as his name drifted in a glob of light as bright as a sun. It hissed and popped as it neared.
Tom? Tom?
And soon he could see little beyond the sun until Catriona moved the lamp from in front to her side, and they stood in complete darkness again, wrapped in a small bubble of white light.
DreamWorks.com.